fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to the Writing Cast. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this episode I'm really just checking in. It's not going to be a typical episode of the Writing Cast, largely because it's actually going up. I know I haven't put up a file in a really, really long time. Things have just been crazy busy with the writing. The editor of Golden Visions magazine wanted some changes to the way we do Lightbulb Man, so that's been a lot of work, a lot of me going back and forth with the artist on how we're going to accommodate those changes. The book of Overthrowing Sabao is nearly out, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm going to be talking a lot about that this time. And I'm biting my nails for the edits to my part in The Complete Guide to Writing Horror. So there's not going to be the resource, there's not going to be the prompt. This is just sort of, you know, checking in, shooting the breeze about writing and publishing and all that stuff. So, Sabao. It was sold in June, which is still amazing to me. I got the contract. I went through a lot of the paperwork and all of that, and I sent it back. And then I was assigned Luisa Bacchio, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right, as the editor. And she started working on it. She was hard at work most of the summer on doing the edits. I got those back in the beginning of August and started working on those changes. And now it's back with her. And she's probably going to bounce it back to me to make more changes. And I'll bounce it back to her. And we'll go back and forth until it's done. Delilah Steffens is the artist doing the cover art, and I am thrilled with her work. She's absolutely fantastic. She did this cover that's just layers, like the background and then the midground sort of move into different senses of time, of reality. It's sort of, they just kind of blend together, and it's all shades of yellow and gold. The very center, the furthest back, is the sun. And it's perfect since the name of the series, and yes, it's going to be a series. I'm working on book two now. The series title is Soldiers of the Sun. The center is yellow almost to white to show the brilliance of the sun. And around it, there's a gold sky, very pale gold, painted with faint hieroglyphs. In front of that is the New York City skyline with the Empire State Building in the very center. And it's framed on both sides by two Set statues, both looking at that building. And this is more the yellow of street lamps, of incandescent bulbs, city yellow, as it were, city lights kind of color. And in front of that is sand-colored pyramids. And it really captures the essence of the place of the novel. I'm totally in love with it. I got to do a promo piece, which basically talks about some of the mythology, a little bit of later mythology, the contesting between Set and Horus, and that's up at http://keithpublications.com/blog/2010/09/29/ivy-reisner. I will link to it in the show notes. Largely now, I just need to figure out how to promote the book, and it's coming out so soon, and I just feel really overwhelmed and amazed at the whole process. But you do want to check out that blog post because there is a contest going on, and one of the prizes is a crit from me, and there's a bunch of other prizes, and it's really, really cool. So you definitely want to check that blog out. And now comes the fun of writing the sequel. And that's not entirely the same as writing the standalone novel. There are just these points to balance. Readers who come in at the second book don't want to be confused about what's going on. They sort of want to be brought up to speed. Readers who have read the first book but haven't read it in a while, sort of forgot a few things, they need reminders of what happened in the story, but maybe not a flat-out telling, just enough of a hint for them to go, oh, yeah, yeah. And readers who just read the first book and just want to shoot on straight into the second, ones who pick it up a long ways down when the second one is out, don't want to be bored with a repetition of what they already know pretty well. So what I'm doing is I'm making a list of what the reader has to know and then working it in as discreetly as possible and delaying as much as I can for as long as I can to not let it bog the early piece of the story down. The next balance is movement versus closure. The story needs to move at least a little bit forward. But if it moves too much, it comes to a point where the story has to end and they just no room for the next one in the series. In a closed series, like a trilogy, that can be paced pretty easily. In an open series, which I'm hoping this to be, it's a little harder, especially a story like this where there isn't that sense that this is just the thing that they both do that leads to adventures. So in a mystery series, every book is just another case. In a story of someone who goes after bail jumpers, they just have a new bail jumper to go after each time. But for this, it's a little bit trickier. The main focus of the first book is how the two of them came together, so that's really not going to carry for the second book, and I have to figure out what is going to carry the second book. Then there's the balance between similarity and difference. No one wants to read what amounts to the same book twice, and yet people who read the first book and pick up the second book do so with certain expectations. Book one is a paranormal romance, so book two has to be a paranormal romance. Book one is light and humorous for the most part, so book two has to be light and humorous for the most part, but there's more. There's a certain flavor, an essence, a feel to the story, an energy. And every book has that. This has to be a variation of the first. It has to be kind of the same flavor and kind of not, just to keep it different and interesting. I've learned a lot from writing and marketing this book, and the main thing that I learned was, I say the first thing I learned was don't worry about getting facts right when they cannot be gotten right. Trying to get Horus's story was completely impossible. In some versions of the legend, Horus is Isis's father. In most versions of the legend, Horus is Isis's son. Ergo, Horus is his own grandfather. Just come with something that is consistent and works and go with it. And I think there's a lot of fear that goes on for some authors where they want to get every single fact completely perfectly right. And that's a good thing. But sometimes you just have to say, look, these are contradictory, and let it go. And dealing with ancient mythologies where consistency didn't matter to the original adherents, you just have to do that. And that kind of letting go was a big thing for me. The other thing that I learned that I thought was huge was to know where you're going, because I wrote my way into a lot of corners and had to rip back and go in a better direction. And I think I probably wrote about 600 pages that just got thrown out because they were just going somewhere where I couldn't continue, and I had to go back to a turning point and change direction. So the second book is going to be more completely outlined so that I don't do that to myself. The next thing I learned was to be persistent. I submitted this thing to 120 agents and publishers before one of them said yes. And I'm not even sure that that's a lot compared to what some authors go through before they finally get that yes answer. And it's a crazy kind of game because 119-1 is still winning. You just need the one. I've learned to allow the book to be its own intended size. The first draft, which never went out, was at 100,000 words. Just because that's the standard length for a fantasy novel. That's the ideal length. It was so heavily padded, it was terrible. It was crushed under its own weight of padding. I cut out a little over 20,000 words and dropped it to a story that's within range for the genre, but dangerously close to being too short. But it was a lot stronger of a novel for that. And I think it gained a huge chunk of words in the editing. Louisa wanted some stuff added that I think enhances the story and strengthens the story. So it's a little longer than 80,000 words now, and I think the length works for this. I've learned how to forget the fact that the contract is signed and the editor has the book, because when it's time to sit and wait, it's time to work on the next project. This isn't just for the sake of being productive. It accomplishes that, but that's not the main goal. It's for the sake of keeping your sanity. I had a friend tell me that the biggest rush in being an author is getting a check from the editor. And that is a really great feeling. But I'd say it's not quite as great as seeing the book cover for the first time. And honestly, to me, the very, very best rush of all of it comes from looking at the finished work and taking pride in the completed novel. That, more than anything, is the best part of being a writer. I am crazy nervous for how Overthrowing Sabao is going to do, but the joy of the journey is, to me, a lot more fun than the destination. I do plan to get files up more regularly now that things are more normal around here and hopefully a more content-laden show and not just this kind of quick checking in thing. And that means I hope to be talking to you soon. And as always, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone.